You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
You know, I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
Hour number two of The Drive underway here on Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio. Russell Baird, Brandon back with you here at your Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Smoking hot question right off the top. Pretty interesting conversation here. Who was the best player of the Butch Jones era in Knoxville very early on the Twitter machine? Let's see here. There's more votes than that. All right, here we go. 42% of the audience so far says Derek Barnett. 30% going Josh Dobbs. In second, 26% say Kamara, and then 2% going other. We'll see who else gets listed here by
you put other?
The audience. Yes.
I did. That excuse that you put a faulty poll in the field. Why did you discount Jalen Hurd?
Because you only get four options, and you have to have an other because there are.
You should have had Hurd and then just written any. Feel free to tweet it.
So who would you have eliminated?
I wouldn't have eliminated anybody. I would have changed other to Jalen Hurd.
And you would have just given four options.
Four options.
This is why you're not in charge of the poll. This is why.
Well, this is proof why I should be in charge of the poll because you're skewing the poll. I don't see how you can.
So you're just
eliminating. You have to overlook how his career ended.
Not overlooking anything.
I feel like that's what you're doing.
I was always a big Jalen Hurd defender, and people gave me a lot of grief for that. I still am. I mean, the guy was going to be our all-time leading rusher. He probably would have been a great pro running back too.
I'll say what he expect.
Bell rung so many
he
times.
He got his bell rung a bunch.
And now he's going to be an NFL wide receiver.
He put the team on his back along with a couple other guys in that Florida game. I mean, I remember him literally carrying 10 Florida defenders down the field.
Okay.
And at the same time, I mean, facts are facts. His mother was getting arrested in the stands after a Florida fan attacked her.
What does that have to do with anything?
I'm just telling you. I think that they're, I think the kid gets a bad rap about the way it ended. That's all I'm saying, man. Because if it had been me balling out for my school and you're arresting my mom in the stands and the newspaper's taking her out for a walk, then I'm not sticking around.
I agree.
Yeah, that size 7 idiot. God, why did we start talking about him? We're supposed to be happy. Our basketball team's on the cusp of being number one, Russ. Let's stop talking about Butch.
Because he's staying with Bama.
Good. Good. I hope his bad, vicious luck turns Alabama into ruins.
I wanted him to go to Maryland. I mean, that would have been the better move. Like, particularly if he had a good job there, it would have meant more money off our list.
And greater chance of comedy watching it burn up there.
Yeah, well – he would have been – that's coaching Siberia because that's destined for failure. And so we don't have to worry about playing him or anything. I mean, if he's the receivers coach, it's going to be – you thought he was obnoxious smoking that cigar last year. Imagine if he actually has a legitimate role in beating us. It's going to be outrageous. Let's go to the phones.
I forgot we had. Yeah, I'm sorry.
865. You don't have to apologize.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
546-8200.
Your number to get on the show this afternoon.
It's critical.
Hot question brought to you by our friends at Rickard Ridge Barbecue, home of the best ribs in the Volunteer State. You check them out online at rickardridgebbq.com. Let's get Phil in here next. Hello, Phil.
What you say, W?
Hello.
How you, Baron Brandon?
Doing well, sir. Doing well. Thanks.
Well, I hope Lyle stays down there. It cost the Alabama National Championship. Just the cancer of him being on the sidelines and helping the game plan. We don't have him on our sideline no more. At least we won a couple of close games this year.
Do you agree with me, Phil? You think it's a good thing having Butch Jones just rotting that program?
Yeah.
That's what I think.
I mean, all honesty, this he's probably going to continue to win the SEC, but they may not win as many national championships now because everybody else has figured them out. And they find, and well, he's hard to work for, too. I mean, you can't just rotate coaches every year and be good.
Now, I imagine there's an adjustment period to working under him.
Well, personally, it takes so much abuse, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
Is this just wishful thinking? Do any of us actually think they're going to take a step back next year?
I don't think they're
going to. SEC.
No, but I think you can definitely – you could definitely tell when they got when they got put up against a team that could match them athlete for athlete. They got out-coached. That was the biggest thing to me that jumped out the national championship game. That's the first time I've ever seen Saban panic and push and get too aggressive. And I still think they could have I don't know. I mean, they were getting 9 yards a carry. I don't know why the hell they were trying to throw the ball in that game. But it was a coaching meltdown for them.
Guys, as much as I've ripped the guy, Josh Dobbs is the best player they've had over there under Butch Jones because he won more games. Derek Barnett was probably the best talent. And Kamara, I mean, he was a great talent, but he never was utilized here.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying, and I think you're right about Dobbs being the most valuable player of that era. Man, Kamara is a freak athlete, man.
I don't know. I know he is. There's no denying it. All I'm saying is this. I've had two different coaches who I respect above any others tell me they think, you know, if you had given David Cutcliffe or Lane Kiffin Josh Dobbs, he probably would have won a Heisman Trophy.
Well, if he got someplace, it'd be a receiver.
That's true, too. Might have won the Politikoff Award.
He still might end up being a receiver. Who knows? But the great win last night, y'all talking about Bones, his numbers have gone down scoring-wise the last two games. I think it's the opposition now is adjusting to try to keep Jordan Bones from penetrating.
Yep.
Well, they're doing that, but, I mean, they didn't have
leave
much.
Everybody else wide open.
I think if you've also noticed, his minutes have gone way down, Phil. He was playing he was averaging 38, and with Lamonte finally getting back and getting minutes, it's taken. I think that may be part of it too. He's playing less minutes.
I think he played 37 minutes against Florida.
Yeah, Florida showed the blueprint and how to
neutralize him.
Well, try and slow us down a little bit, which is prevent him from getting to the elbows. And Arkansas was trying to do that. I don't think they did a very good job of it yesterday. But, I mean, credit to him. We found other ways to be. The thing I like about last night, Phil, is we know all these NBA scouts are in there. And, okay, they're probably – most of them probably here to see Gafford is probably the highest-rated prospect on either team. And what do? We win the opening tip. Kyle Alexander wins the opening tip. We come right down the court, throw it inside to Kyle, and he's – you know, goes right at Gafford.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he was
– that was the key.
Yeah.
Even foul trouble is what they did last night.
Yep.
I mean, Arkansas – I like Arkansas's two guards. They're going to be good players. But outside of that, I don't see much hope for them. I don't understand why Mike Anderson continues to be employed there unless it's because he was with Nolan Richardson.
Yeah, you know, they've been to a couple of tournaments and everything, but – boy, that's just – I went back and looked at some of the Arkansas fans' comments on Twitter, and they're not having fun. Not a lot of fun in the Mike Anderson era for Arkansas fans.
You cut me off yesterday. Wouldn't let me get the rest of my debate in with you and Bear about the Lady Vol program. And
funny how that happens.
You shouldn't be getting on Bear on this. Bear's trying to do the University of Tennessee a favor. And you know why? You don't want to upset the flannel mafia.
More homophobic comments from the mayor of South Knoxville. Color me shocked. Y'all got to take it there. You're so amused with that. You think that's really funny?
Oh, I really don't.
I've never seen you smile. I'm just sitting
over here because I know that Gaslight, you know, goober that you are, you're getting ready to, you've got the Bombay doors open. You're going to paint me with your brush, drop a bomb on me and act like I had anything to do with that.
I didn't think that was funny. I'm just making
I didn't either, Russ.
usually when I don't find things funny, my response is not to laugh, not to chuckle, not to smile. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Probably.
I mean,
it's 2019,
Phil.
Exactly,
we don't make
Phil.
Fun of lesbians in public. That's not something that's okay to do. Do you see what you've done? Now you have to go before the Council of Elders. There's a significant homosexual portion of the Lady Vol fan base. Ha ha ha, that's funny. Ha ha ha. It's 2019, man. Come on. Y'all grow up. T. Martin is out recruiting for Tennessee, as Jeremy Pruitt has apparently pulled Charles Kelly off the recruiting trail. This according to our Trey Wallace of It's Optional. Heard weekdays from 1 to 3 right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. And I'm glad to – it's weird, man. I'm glad that T's out there recruiting. That can only be a good thing for Tennessee. But I don't want to lose Charles Kelly. I thought he was a key member of the staff, a guy that's got –
from a recruiting standpoint or coaching standpoint?
Both, yes. A lot of those Florida kids mentioned him as being key to their recruitment, but here's a guy that's got defensive coordinator experience at Florida State, big Jeremy Pruitt guy, steeped in that 3-4 Alabama system, lots of experience coaching defensive backs, and I hope he doesn't go, man. It's not official that he has left, but evidently he has an opportunity to become the defensive coordinator at Maryland. So, that's the latest from Trey Wallace. We'll keep you up to date here as we move along through the afternoon on the drive. Let's get a quick timeout here. We'll find out who's on the docket. Brought to you by OEB Law. Coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Docket, brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill, the official law offices of The Drive. Injured? Call 865-546-1111. Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill, they'll come to you. Visit their website at wreckintoacheck.com. Now, to the docket.
As soon as Russell finishes up a little power snack during the break.
He always does this.
I'm not going to rip on Russell. New Year's resolution. Kinder, gentler, machine gun hand.
Be a first for you.
I think I'm good. What song is that? Keep on rocking in the free world.
Keep on rocking in the free world.
That's one more kid that'll never go to school. Never get to fall in love. Never get to be cool. Keep on rocking. All right. Good docket today. I'm not going to eat on air, man. I'm going to finish that delicious snack bar.
So you going to eat on air on Friday when we're at the corner?
You know a solution, Russell.
What's that?
You don't eat the whole thing during one commercial break. You savor it.
But then I had a bite sitting there. It was going to be
– what?
I'd be distracted just thinking the entire segment about
how
I wanted to finish
that. He'd end up eating
anyway,
it on air. Get the docket.
I just spit some food on the microphone.
Docket. Gross.
Turkish prosecutors are seeking an international arrest warrant for Knicks center Enes Kanter, accusing him of membership in a terrorist organization. Sabah newspaper says the Istanbul chief prosecutor's office had also prepared an extradition request for the NBA player. Newspaper cites prosecutors seeking an Interpol red notice, citing Kanter's ties to exiled Muslim cleric Fethullah Gulen, who is blamed for a failed coup in 2016 and accusing him of providing financial support for his group. According to Interpol, a red notice is a request to locate and provisionally arrest an individual pending extradition. This is why Cantor refused to travel to London for Thursday's game against the Washington Wizards. He said he feared he could be assassinated.
Either that or abducted by Turkish security forces. I mean, they had somebody, they beat the hell out of somebody outside the White House.
How are you gonna abduct like a 7 foot tall NBA basketball player? That would seem very difficult.
No, it really wouldn't. They would, a panel van would pull up on the street and they'd jump out and cattle prod him, and he'd go black bag over his head and he'd be gone. I think you're underestimating how good, you know, private security forces for, you know.
Is Bear right now just relaying that scene from Old School where they roll up on the pledges in a van?
No.
And just kidnap them?
Is
that what he's doing right now?
I've never seen.
So. That's what it sounds like.
All of Old School. I've seen bits and pieces of it, believe it or not. But no. I mean, that's how that happens over there.
Meanwhile, To Catch a Predator host Chris Hansen has been accused of bouncing checks and failing to pay for $13,000 worth of marketing materials he received from a local vendor. 59-year-old Hansen was charged Monday with issuing a bad check and released after signing a written promise to appear in court. What do you think they told him, Bear, when he was arrested?
Why don't you come in and have a seat?
Why don't you have a seat right over here? Why don't you have a seat right over here, Chris Hansen? And this is a weird one. Former NFL player Tony Beckham played for the Titans a couple of years ago. Speaking of Chris Hansen, To Catch a Predator, he is living in Wellington, Florida now. He was leaving his home around 6:40 in the morning this Monday when he saw some strange movement behind his house. He goes back there and sees a peeping Tom. He says, "I see a white male and he's standing by my window and he's trying to get in a better position." Beckham said the man was looking into the window of his 15-year-old daughter's bedroom. He said the man's pants were partially down and he was...
This is Chris Hansen?
No.
David Beckham? I'm completely lost now. Go ahead with your thing there, Russ. I'm sorry.
Former Titans NFL player Tony Beckham was leaving his house in Florida when he saw a man whacking it in the woods.
Looking in his 15-year-old daughter's window.
Yeah. So, he says he thought he was on Punk'd, the famous practical joke TV show. Beckham yelled at the man, who then tried to run away. Beckham runs him down and says, quote, "I caught him at the apartment over there, and we just had a good conversation. Judging by the mugshot of the peeping Tom,"
let me see it.
"It had more than," I don't have it pulled up, just Google Tony Beckham. He dotted his I and crossed his T.
He's lucky to be breathing.
What would you do if you caught somebody, a peeping Tom, looking in your 15-year-old daughter's bedroom at 6 o'clock in the morning while handling his own?
I'd put a tennis ball and a gag, tennis ball gag in his mouth, tie him up, and put him in the garage, and then call my buddies. And it's been about 12 hours, maybe 24.
This guy, yeah, I mean, bad luck for the peeping Tom.
I don't know.
And a former NFL football player jumps out, runs you down, and proceeds to beat the living crap out of you in broad daylight.
Utterly outstanding.
Oh, let it be a lesson to you. Let it be a lesson to you. That is The Docket, brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill, the official law offices of The Drive. Check them out online. WreckIntoACheck.com. Don't come to you. And turn your wreck into a check. OEB Law, getting it done. We appreciate their sponsorship of The Docket this afternoon here on the show. Let's grab a phone call from Big Josh. Hello, Josh. You're on The Drive. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up? What's up?
Hey, what has to happen this weekend for us to be number one, Russ? Get to number one spot.
Well, I would guess that Duke probably needs to beat Virginia, and then that would both those teams would have a loss this week. That would cancel them out, and then Michigan would have to lose to Wisconsin, which is very possible. Although that Michigan team, I think I read, they're like 29-1 in their last 30 games, the only loss being in the national championship to Nova last year.
Yeah, all those.
They're on a roll.
Ken Palm all them analytics geeks are they're in love with the Big Ten this year for some reason. I don't know.
It's cool. Is that a major goal of yours? You want to be number one, Josh?
I would like to see them be number one. I mean, you know, I hear people say we're going to lose 3-4 games, but hell, I don't see us losing that many. To tell you the truth, this team is a veteran team. They just take game by game and stay healthy. Hell, they can run the table, man, in the conference, to be honest with you. I know it's hard to do, but it's a special team. I've never seen us have a team this good.
No, I'm with you, Josh. I think this team's going to be, you know, just looking at the immediate future, I don't see them losing Saturday to Bama. I don't see them losing next week at Vandy because they're not very good. I don't see them losing to West Virginia because they're not very good.
Right. It's the season basically starts at Rupp, right?
February 16th. It sure does.
That's when the last seven get – they're pretty tough. They're pretty brutal, last seven games.
At LSU, at Ole Miss, Kentucky twice.
Well, would you rather have it like it is or have it front-loaded? I prefer it on the back end because it get tough and gym gets you ready for tournament play.
I'd rather have it intermixed, man, honestly, with this bunch, it doesn't scare me.
I'm with Bear. I want to be battle-tested. I kind of like that, having a bunch of difficult games right at the end there, and then you get a big break
for the
tournament.
I'm telling you, the one thing that wouldn't bother me a bit is if the game we lose is like the first or second day at the SEC tournament. Because I give two flips about that. Russell's all about
it,
Big Josh.
I
don't care a damn thing about that.
I want to win.
I've never seen us win one. I want to win it.
I want to win.
I've seen it once.
The
it's overrated.
Stupid freaking SEC tournament.
You guys are missing.
I want to win it.
You guys don't have your eye on the prize in. I want to win the whole damn thing.
You know, Bear, yeah. Both things can happen.
Yeah.
If we win it, I think we end up for sure one seed too, and I think that would help. But hey, on your question, honestly, I have to go Bear. I think Hurd's the best player, just because that kid could play any position. Man, you could put him. He would have been an All-American linebacker. He would have been a sack machine if he would have turned himself into a defensive end. He could have played. You see what he's done to turn himself into a wide receiver. Kid worked his ass off while he was here. Jones totally mismatched him, brick by brick, screwed it up. But that kid was unbelievable.
I'll never forget, I believe it was 2012, watching Jalen Hurd at Beach in the state championship against Columbia, the 5A state championship that year. Throw around the phrase man among boys in sports. Like, that was – it was stupid watching Jalen Hurd play high school football with a separated shoulder, mind you. He ran for over, almost 400 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Yeah, he went off that
day. I mean, just put the team on his separated shoulders – and literally ran through that Columbia team, which was a good team that year.
Who was he? He was like 6'3 and 230 at the time.
That was the craziest thing I've ever seen in football.
The sad part is brick by brick, one day he's going to have a Jalen Hurd NFL jersey hanging in his coaching office, taking credit for him.
I moved him to wide receiver. I taught him how to run routes.
But, hey, one more thing on the way. Yesterday I said something about LaPoy. Another show today said He's interviewing with the Cleveland Browns. Y'all hear that?
Yeah,
I heard that, and there's also some scuttlebutt that he's officially out at Alabama. I guess it's unofficial, but there's some.
Man, I'd like to get him here. He's one of the best recruiters that's ever been in college football, man. He's landed. Hey. If you look at all the kids, he's landed.
Tosh Lapoy.
Yeah.
I wonder if Charles Kelly leaves, do you hire Tosh Lapoy? And I don't know, can Kevin Scherer or can Lapoy coach?
I think when Kelly
leaves,
he's going to add a coach to the offensive side, Russell. He's going to get Lilly on the field, but I think it's going to take a big money guy like Rump to leave because you would have to have mega bucks to get Lapoy here.
Oh, you don't like. Not necessarily. I think that's one of the things that Fulmer's kind of proven to everybody is money's no object. Not right now. We're making it, and they're spending it.
Well, they're going to have to recruit. I know a lot of people are talking about 7, 8, 9 wins next year, but. I honestly think we'll be worse next year than we was this year. Our defensive line, if you've looked at it, it's horrible, man.
I mean, could you?
We got to get some players in here.
Yeah, it's they're working on it.
I mean, could you see him? You know, sliding T-Fair over to safety since Pruitt's
coach
by trade.
I could see them putting T-Fair, just making him secondary coach instead of just corners, kind of. And maybe getting him a grad assistant or something to help run drills.
Well, you know, Pruitt's going to be over
very hands on, obviously. Corners. But I don't want to lose Charles Kelly. I really don't. I think he's going?
Somebody said Maryland. Did you hear that?
He might have the opportunity to be the defensive coordinator up there.
Who would want to go to Maryland? But anyway, y'all hang in there. Take care. See.
I mean, you talk about money not being an object. I think. If I'm Philip Fulmer, I'm sitting down with Charles Kelly and say, "Look, man, you're gonna be a coordinator again. It's only a matter of time. Don't take that Maryland job.
Stay here with us.
That dude went 3-31 at New Mexico. He ain't gonna be much better at Maryland in the Big Ten. Stay here with us for at least another year. We'll give you a big raise. We'll get you bumped up near $1 million to.
We have a really good year. Somebody might come looking at Kevin Scherer.
Yeah, and then your next DC
job might be here.
Yeah, you'll be an SEC or ACC defensive coordinator at a decent school that you can win at. Don't take that Maryland job, man. Stick around here. That would be my pitch. All right, quick timeout. When we continue, Chris Wolf is fighting at Valor Fighting Challenge 54 this weekend at the Coliseum. He's going to join us to tell us about his fight. And we'll talk to you more about the big event coming up at the Coliseum when we continue next on The Drive. Valor Fighting Challenge 54 coming up Saturday night at your Knoxville Civic Coliseum. We're going to have some tickets to give away to the event Friday out at Corner 16. Make plans to come on out and see us there, and we'll try and hook you up tickets to the fights. These things are a lot of fun. I've been to a couple of them myself, and if you haven't been, if you are MMA curious at all, then this would be a terrific opportunity to go check it out because, you know, the UT game is at 2, so that'll be over at 4. Voluntary reaction will be over around 5 or 6, and then you can go on down to the fights, where the doors open at 5 and the fights start at 6. Thing about it is you have like a bunch of amateur fights, and then you'll have maybe 10 or so professional fights, and like it lasts, it's a full night, and pretty cool stuff. They do a great job, the Valor crew, of putting this on. Chris Wolf joins us. He is going to be fighting Saturday night down at the Coliseum. Chris, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you, buddy?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for jumping on here. Tell us a little bit about your background, where you're from, and how you got in MMA, and how long you've been at it.
Well, originally I'm from San Diego, and then we moved up here. And in middle school, I started wrestling, and went from wrestling, and then one day somebody was like, "Hey, you want to fight?" And I was like, "Yeah, I guess I'll fight." I was like in high school, and then I fought twice. Just kind of in high school, and then Eric Turner got a hold of me, you know, ever since then, I've just been farting. I don't know. It's kind of weird how it all plays out. You know what I mean? One day you're sitting there and, you know, the next day you're a professional fighter about to have a fight. I've been thinking about it. That's what I usually think about before my fights. Is just like, I cannot believe I'm about to do this. And then you're like, oh, yeah, I've trained, you know, for however many weeks. I'm probably going to be okay.
Well, I'm reading your bio. It says you've been in MMA for 7 years, a long wrestling career before that, 8-4 amateur record. This is your third pro fight. You're 1-1. So you're still relatively new, at least as a professional. Is that an adjustment that's still ongoing, or do you feel like you have a decent amount of experience when you jump in there?
Well, I think I have a lot of I'm pretty experienced. Been doing this for a really long time. I actually took 6 years off between my first fight and my second fight as a professional. So I took a really long time off from my last one. So this is definitely a way, way quicker turnaround. My last fight was about 2 months ago. So, you know, just it's very important for me right now just to keep staying active. But when it comes down to it, you know, I've been wrestling my entire life. You know, I've been fighting for, you know, the last 10 years. Yeah, I think I'm pretty experienced, more so than my record shows.
So why did you take such a big break between fights, 6 years?
You know, it was a mixture of everything. It was me, starting a little family, you know, working, becoming an actual adult. and, you know, I didn't really do anything during those 6 years off. I just kind of, you know, I'd work out sometimes. But, you know, about 2 years ago, we had my trainer, Taylor Turner. She messaged me. She's like, hey, you want to help out with the kids' class? You know, I was literally just drinking beer every night, hanging out. And here we are 2 years later. I'm about to have my third professional fight. It's crazy how everything works out.
Yeah, very cool. So you're back in it. Chris Wolf, tell us about your opponent and what you know about him.
You know, I really don't know a lot about Billy. His name's Billy Combs. He had a really long amateur career. I think this is his second pro fight. You know, all I really know about him is he's fought tough dudes, and, you know, he's about to fight another one. So, hands up, and I know he punches pretty hard from what I can tell, but, you know, I'm a wrestler. I'm looking to take it to the ground and, you know, stay on top, control. I want this one to go a little bit longer than my last one. My last fight was about 3 or 4 minutes. I'd like for this one to get to at least the second round so I can get that cage time in. He seems like a pretty nice guy from what I can tell.
Do you get scared before you go into the ring for a fight?
I'm scared now. Scared and nervous now. I won't. When I walk into the cage, I'm not. When I am in the back room, I get more confident, right? Like before I get into the cage, it's more of a confidence thing. So I'm terrified now. During Thursday and Friday, I'll forget how to fight. And then on Saturday, everything kind of comes back to me.
But when you say terrified, is it like just the crowd and the enormity of it, or is the possibility of getting hurt by a guy who's trying to hurt you?
Yeah, more so that. I don't care about it. I've never really had performance anxiety when it comes to, like, crowds and stuff like that. Sometimes I think about, you know, I'm like, well, this guy wants to take my head off. But, you know, I forget that I've trained for so long on how to, you know, handle those types of situations. And then, you know, you get there and you're like, oh, everybody's nervous. I'm going to be fine. And then, you know, the confidence set in. And then a lot of the time you walk in there, you're a monster.
What is the weight limit for your fight, and are you having to cut weight?
No weight cut. I fight at 155. I used to fight at 145. But this fight I'm about to have is at 175. So I woke up on weight yesterday. So at this point, all I have to do is eat healthy and kind of just stay active, which is, you know, good for me. You know, I'll walk into the cage around 170. I'll probably weigh in. I'll weigh in Friday at like 168, just to, you know, I have to have some sort of restrictions or I won't feel as confident as I need to be. You know, I just like to be kind of restricted when it comes to diet, so I can't just, you know, go eat pizza and drink beer.
You're not riding an exercise bike in a sauna, starving yourself, you know, making yourself throw up or whatever to make weight. That's good too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've never had a problem making weight or whatever. I come from a wrestling background. I wrestled at 152 in high school. You know, I'm a really big 155er. So, you know, 170 is just, you know, you just kind of don't have to cut that extra, you know, water. So, as long as I don't, you know, drink too much or, you know, eat too much, I'll be fine.
All right, my man. Well, best of luck. Chris Wolf with us. He's fighting Saturday night down at the Coliseum. Valor Fighting Challenge 54. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. And, Chris, thanks so much for jumping on here with us. Best of luck to you Saturday.
Hey, thanks for having me. You guys have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Good luck. Good luck to everyone.
Yeah, man.
All right, bye.
Chris Wolf, one more time. He was a nice guy.
Yeah.
These fighters, you always think like, oh, man, like this probably not a – like really intense, likes to fight guy. Probably not like a guy you would want to hang out with, but they're like all nice dudes.
Yeah,
and the girls too. Like the girls are like sweethearts.
I'd be interested to see if most of the fighters are like Chris. He said he's more nervous and scared now than when he steps in the ring. I know I'd be total opposite.
Well, we've promoted several of these over the years, and I've asked a lot of these guys and girls if they're scared. That's one of my favorite questions to ask them. Are you scared? And it's interesting because some of them are like, nah, man, if you're scared, you don't belong in there, bruh. You ain't going to make it. But I think that's false bravado. How could you not be scared going into a fight against another trained fighter? It's one thing if like they're jumping in there against you or me, and we're just like, oh, no, hurry. But, like, another fighter is in shape and, like, knows how to fight. That's got to be, you know, if he said it's terrifying, it's got to, at the very least, nerve-wracking.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I couldn't imagine.
You should do it, Brandon.
Yeah, right.
You know, if you dropped some of that baby fat, you could probably get out there into middleweight range. You're long.
Not a fighter, Russ.
You're a lover, not a fighter, huh? It's just not in your makeup.
It's not me.
That's the problem with you, Brandon. We need to toughen you up. Get you in some Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
I believe it's a little too late for that.
Too late? You're 22 years old.
23, Russ. I'm almost 24.
He's almost 24 years old. He's washed up. Brandon's done.
I am.
He's done. He's past his physical prime. Let me tell you about being old and washed up. I have arthritis in the tip of my middle finger. Do you know what that's like, Brandon? It's awful.
No, I don't.
But you know what? Nobody feels sorry for you. I told my wife, my finger hurts. She's like, you shut up and take out the trash. All right. I'm almost 24 years old. Get out of here, Brandon Orrick.
Well, excuse me. I don't have arthritis in my finger, but
I got like
I don't think fighting's for me, Russell.
My knee clicks when I walk.
Hair's probably turned gray. You should probably get that checked out.
Bags under my eyes. Look terrible. You, however, we're going to turn you into a fighter, a lean, mean fight machine, Brandon Orrick.
You and Bear are going to be my trainers? Is that
Yeah, man. I'm going to meet you out at the apartment 5 a.m. tomorrow. My car. I want you dressed in your sweats like Rocky. Bop, 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 bop. Bear and I'll be riding behind you eating biscuits.
I will.
Pick up the pace, Oric.
I will not be awake at 5 a.m. tomorrow.
Pick up the pace, Oric. Get those knees up. Knees up. Seriously, don't know what's going on with my finger, man. It hurts. And just go ahead and amputate it for that championship.
There you go. There you go.
Go Ronnie Lott. Chop it off. Tougher breed. 865-546-8200, your number. Get right back to these phones when we continue here on The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Stay with us.
The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio, cruising along with you, Wednesday afternoon edition of The Drive, cruising along like your Tennessee basketball program. People are taking note of all these Admiral Schofield likes I don't know who does this. Like, who has time to go figure out what other people are liking on Twitter?
That just I have no idea.
The people are out there. Evidently, Admiral is liking a bunch of Kentucky fans talking trash about how Tennessee's going to get stomped by Kentucky and will never make a Final Four and is overrated.
That is it's really bad, man. I don't know if I'd go there with that guy. I mean, he looks friendly enough, but he's kind of
poking the bear.
Yeah.
Poking
the
bear.
Did you see the article that it dropped from SB Nation?
No. About
Tennessee basketball?
No.
Let me read you the title of it.
Okay.
Pull it up here. Gotta keep everybody entertained while it works. Yeah, you might like banner. Okay. SB Nation, this is according to Ricky O'Donnell, wrote this.
Oh, wow. Ricky O'Donnell.
Yeah. Tennessee basketball is giving out ass kickings every night.
Confirmed.
I mean, it's
oh, that's the title.
Yeah, that's just okay. The title.
You couldn't just remember that?
No.
All right.
He says there are a few unassailable truths in college basketball have already been established. Have already established themselves a month and a half before the calendar turns to March. We know Zion Williamson and Duke will continue to be the biggest story in the country. We know nothing Virginia does in the regular season will quell concerns heading into the NCAA tournament a year after the biggest upset in the sport's history. We know Michigan and Gonzaga are already really freaking good. Kansas and Kentucky are trying to get there, and a deep batch of contenders are bubbling beneath the surface. We also know that if you play the Tennessee Volunteers, you're going to get your ass kicked.
Confirmed.
And he goes on to talk about it's the deal. Tennessee has now won its first four SEC games by a total of 100 points, Russ.
I'm just looking at, I mean, you guys are right about the schedule thickening up. After, and yeah, I guess starting with that first Kentucky game. At Kentucky, Saturday, February 16th. Then you play Vanderbilt at home. That should be a win.
Yeah, but you know they're going to give us their – none of these games are going to be easy. We're getting everybody's best shot.
That's what you've been saying since conference play started.
Vandy. I think we smash Vandy.
I think we're going to be in a street fight up there at Rupp.
At LSU. Oh, yeah. Yeah, street no doubt. Fight. Yeah, we're not blowing them out in Rupp. I mean, that's going to be very difficult. At LSU will be tough.
Difficult.
At Ole Miss will be tough. Kentucky at home will be tough. Mississippi State at home might very well be tough, probably should be tough. And then Auburn on the road the last
– that could be insane.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. No way we should lose to Bama this weekend. No way we should lose at Vandy next Wednesday. No way we should lose to West Virginia. It's surprising how bad they've been. At South Carolina should be a win. At Texas A&M. Missouri at home should be a win. Florida at home should be a win. Like, I mean, the next month is going to be, I don't say cruise control, but, you know, if Michigan and or Virginia lose, I don't know what their schedules look like, but we probably should get some run at number one at some point in the next month, provided we don't stub our toes.
Yeah.
But – after that, I don't think we're running that gauntlet. I can't sit here today and say we're running that last 10-game stretch gauntlet without stubbing our toe at least once. At least once. And I don't think that's a bad thing, man. I said yesterday, like, my perfect scenario is we get to be number one for a couple of weeks, stick our chests out there, walk around, tell everybody, tell us how great we are. It's, you know, a recruiting promo, basically. Show recruits that you can win big here at Tennessee. And then get popped, get that motivation up, get that chip back on your shoulder, and hopefully have that kind of carry us through into the postseason. That's my ideal sort of finish to the season. Brandon, what was it like in there last night, Thompson Bowling?
It was electric. I mean, it was
– okay.
Probably even more so than the Georgia game. It was a little different. Whenever I got in the arena for the Georgia game, people were already kind of there. It was a late arriving crowd last night, But once they got there, it was packed, it was loud, and it was fun. I mean, they put on an absolute clinic.
Was it raucous?
Yeah, I mean, and I think the students being back for this game and not for the Georgia game had a lot to do with that as well.
What's the first big game in there where it's going to get really wild and woolly out of that stretch?
I mean, I would have said West Virginia, but they're struggling so badly. And I think all these games are going to be sold out.
When's Kentucky?
Well, the first Florida at home, February 9th. That's a Saturday.
March 2nd.
That'll be pretty wild.
That's Kentucky at home.
Yeah, then March 2nd, Kentucky at home.
Is that a Saturday?
Those would be the two big ones, obviously. Konzo, when they come here, that should be interesting. That's a 9 o'clock Tuesday night tip.
Yeah, that's not going to – I mean, that – Missouri, they're middle tier at best right now.
Yeah, but don't you think the Konzo storyline adds an
No, because
there?
I don't think it's a storyline anymore.
It'll be his first time back, won't it?
Yeah.
I don't think it's that big of a deal. I really don't. I mean, it probably is to, you know, your Myron Medcalfs and Jamie's the, you know, on opposite sides of the issue, but most people don't care. I wish him all the best. I'm happy with where we're at right now.
Hands!
Konzo Martin, you'd never be able to get as deep as Coach Martin, Russ.
865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show this afternoon. Coming up, hour number three. We'll hit the reset button for those of you just joining us today on the show. T. Martin is on the road recruiting. What does that mean for Tennessee staff? Jalen Hurts falls out of the portal and lands in Oklahoma, and which is interesting on a number of levels, not the least of which is because Oklahoma evidently is blocking Austin Kendall from transferring from WVU. I mean, how hypocritical can you possibly be? On one hand, begging Jalen Hurts to come as a grad transfer, but on the other hand, telling your current player you can't grad transfer out. I mean, someone explain that one to me. Stay with us. The drive continues. Hour number three coming up.